T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. Coming up at 11:30, our Chiefs Red Half Hour. And within the half hour here, Andy Reid going to speak. We'll bring that to you as soon as we have it as well. Get his thoughts on rule proposals that are out there and just how the offseason program continues virtually. And like the rest of the National Football League, kind of just waiting around to see when you can start having everybody back in the team facility, and we'll talk more about those rule changes overall and more on what Chiefs owner Clark Hunt had to say about Patrick Mahomes and a potential contract extension. Cody's random question, 8 minutes away. So the Royals sent out a survey. If you're a season ticket member, you may have got this survey in the last 24, 48 hours or so. And I would imagine most teams across baseball are doing this. And it's a survey to season ticket members to gauge your feelings right now and comfortability, really, about attending games, if in fact there's a chance to attend baseball games in 2020. And we all know everybody has a different viewpoint on this, so they want to get the feedback from their season ticket holders based off of what things they could implement, how much more or less comfortable would it make you. Makes plenty of sense. You're trying to gauge that. And so there's how many questions would you say? I went through it. I mean, it's going to take a ton of time, but it'll take a
50?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably 10 minutes of your time, depending on
some
how
of them are variations of a very similar question as far as like your interest if they did several different guidelines. But yeah, I mean, it's probably 50 questions.
You know, some are basic, like how concerned are you about COVID-19? And it's very concerned, somewhat concerned, not at all concerned, right? So questions like that and your level of agreement with statements. So one of them even was like, quite simply, my chance of contracting coronavirus would increase if I attended a Kansas City Royals games with fans in the stands. Do you strongly agree? Somewhat agree, neither agree, or disagree, somewhat disagree, and strongly disagree. Would love to know. I wonder if these results will ever be made public, but it would be fascinating.
I'd be surprised if they do, but this does tell you a lot about, like, not only fan interest for this year, but fan interest for the following year and in professional sports across the board. Because some of the ones, they're really trying to get a feel for what things have to be in place for you to feel comfortable to go to the stadium. So I'll ask you that. Smitty's Garage, Burger and Beer, text line 69306. What things do you want in place to make you feel comfortable going to games with fans again? Are you all, if you're just good, no mask, 40,000 people, ready to stroll up, fine. Let me know. I'm curious at least, because here's some of the things they go through, right? Like, if you're saying, here's the list of protocols that they are at least considering for you to go to the stands, we can base that on the questions they're doing. Would you feel better if they significantly reduced the capacity of the stadium? Required all fans to wear masks for the duration of the event? Required all employees to wear masks for the duration of the event? Allowed only entry using mobile, non-paper tickets? Increased visibility and communication of sanitation efforts throughout the building? Temperature screenings before any person, fan, or employee enters the ballpark, and increased availability of self-sanitations. These are all the things that are, you know, that they're pulling you on to find out if it would make you more or less comfortable to go to the stadium inside of it. So, you know, like, I think some of these things, like temperature checks, man, if we're going to start having fans back in the stands, I'm not sure that that's the solution. Like, well, I hate to bring, like, to me, that's not the one that's going to make me feel safe. If it were this year they were going to allow fans in, I would say masking is probably where I would start putting some restrictions on things. Limited people in the stands, and a mask being used is probably where I am personally.
And it really does go both ways on this, and that's why they ask it in a certain way too, because while for some people that requirement that you mentioned, Cody, of all fans to wear masks, and they ask you if it's absolutely required for you or not absolutely required, there's also the option, though, hey, by implementing this, I will not attend games, or it makes me less likely. Because there's plenty of people that, oh, if you wear a mask, I'm not going to attend a game. If you're making me wear a mask, and I'm going to have to get a temperature check, and I'm going to have a specific entry time, you know what? Some people are going to say, this is too much of a pain in the you-know-what. Other people are going to view that and say, oh, that's great. I love it. You're gonna make your workers wear masks. You're going to make fans wear masks. You're going to limit and control the flow of crowds. And that's why they have the survey, because people are all going to view these things differently. Some are going to view it in a great positive way, and others are going to say, this is too much of a hassle. This isn't needed. Just like when you've seen people that are more willing right now as things are opening up to go to restaurants. And some people at those restaurants, either A, they're not going, or if they are, they're wearing masks. Some people aren't wearing masks. So it's a fascinating look, and I'm assuming most teams, if not all teams in baseball, are going to be doing a survey just like this to try to get a gauge on what is almost a requirement for fans in their season ticket holder base, and what is something that actually would deter people from going, and it may not be what you would expect.
Well, I think that's why we're asking you. It's our way of like, look, they're not going to show us the results of these things.
Yeah, would be amazing to know. Would love to know.
Well, I mean, they're trying to find out if you're going to buy concessions if you're there, if you feel comfortable there, how you want to pay, if you want to do these, because I think we're probably going to find a wine answer. Because, and that's not surprising to me because, I might feel differently than you do. Like, I still haven't gone to go eat at a restaurant, right?
I don't think either of us have gone in to a restaurant recently.
No, I've gotten to go.
Yeah.
I got to go early on, right? Like, I was comfortable doing that. Yeah, curbside. I've done to go where I had to, like, physically go into. I mean, I've been there, too, but never for very long, and I wore a mask. But, like, I'm different than other people are feeling currently toward, when I go to the hardware store, it's probably maybe 50-50 or 25% people wearing masks, depending on what it is, because I needed things 2 days ago. I think it'll be interesting to see how sports fans feel about their comfort.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306, as we're asking you, how would you answer these surveys? Maybe some of you have, I'm sure, taken the survey already.
Yeah.
This was from season ticket holders or two season ticket holders from the Royals. A couple to point out here, someone else saying, nothing, I feel safe right now, let's open everything, don't need anything to change. Someone else says, are the Royals even going to have 12,000 at a game on a normal summer night? Someone else says they would need a vaccine. Other people point out, as long as I don't have to bend over for my temperature check, I will be fine with the temp check.
Just build, like, clear, see-through, like, porta-potties for every individual.
Clear,
so you don't ever have to leave.
See-through.
Yeah, you just get locked in, and you're there for the whole time.
Clear, see-through porta-potties?
You're saying not to go to the bathroom in. It's like a seat you sit on to watch the game?
Yeah, but there could be a toilet, and you don't ever have to go to the bathroom.
I was very confused. I'm like, what do you mean you want to see a see-through porta potty?
I don't want anyone. I'm a very private bathroom user.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
I would prefer that stay private.
Someone else texts in, this one from the 816. Someone said, hey, it need to be 50% capacity, no concessions, you can bring whatever you like. I'm not going to wear a mask for 3+ hours. So again, you're getting it.
So again, that's the question. Like, would you, if they required you to wear 3+? I mean, hell, you go to the wrong baseball game, you might be sweating in that thing for 5.
So you're telling me people aren't going to leave for extra innings because it's getting late. They're going to leave because they're uncomfortable.
I think it'll go both ways. I think there are fans that won't go if people aren't wearing masks. I think there are fans that won't go if they have to wear a mask.
100%. And that's
the question for them is, what is the larger percentage? Like, that's why I started suggesting clear plastic porta potties, apparently, which I didn't know was something you were into, Serta. I guess we all learned something new today.
Just popped in my head.
I mean, you know a lot easier if someone was in there, I guess. That's the one way to look at that. That's a bad, bad, bad image.
Just eyes forward.
Eyes forward.
This is Arrowhead trough peeing rules?
Oh, the troughs.
Do those still exist there?
Like post-game locker room rules. Just eyes up and forward.
I can't answer that question. I don't.
That is such a small percentage of people that would even understand your reference. Although it's very clear, when we're in a post-game locker room, some people probably you don't want to catch a glimpse of things. So you're just trying to eyes ahead.
Don't look. That's right.
Eyes straight. So you're saying we can all just pee in our seats, eyes straight, everybody. I guess in this scenario, Oh gosh, this is just a this is your worst idea yet.
Those are the rules.
That's what you get if you want to attend a Royals game. You have to sit in your sort of clear plastic porta potties and keep eyes ahead at all times.
Yep.
Oh god.
You're gonna be locked into your seat. It's gonna be like.
No, I think I'll take no fans. I think those are my two choices. I think I'll choose no fans in the stands or choose not to go. Is that going to be our media setup too, Serta? I'm just curious.
Oh gosh.
I don't know. I'm not going to a game anytime soon.
Just curious if these press box rules apply as well to the eyes forward, clear porta potty.
No, but I do think, honestly, the mask being a requirement will. What's the percentage one way or the other is interesting, but there will be plenty of people that will say, "Yeah, I'm not going because of the mask." But there will be some that are going to say, "Yeah, actually, I won't go without it." It's a weird split. How do you determine that? Those are the tough decisions.
I mean, you can make those determinations of allowing people. Like that's why they ask. Like maybe just allow each individual to make their own decision on mask wearing. If you're worried about it, would want to attend a game and wear a mask, you can. If you don't want to, just know that other people maybe won't be doing it. Like those are decisions people are making individually now, and that might be the decision these stadiums come across. But yeah, they're trying to figure out what's going to get them the maximum number of people to not disagree with the rules they put in place.
Coming up in 20 minutes, our Chiefs Red Half Hour, you'll hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. First time in that one. Week and a half, 2 weeks or so, last time we heard from
roughly
Andy Reid. So it'll be good to check in with the head coach here in just a little bit. But it's now time for another random question.
Random question.
Would you rather be able to speak any language or be able to communicate with animals, as in speak to them? So you could talk to your dog.
And they can understand me too?
Yes.
It's a fluid conversation.
This is a fluid conversation. You speak to them, they understand.
So
you can understand them barking or whining or whatever back to you.
So I think the smart answer is for me to clearly say speak any language because of the financial benefit, and that's the smart answer.
There's no financial benefit in your line of work of speaking any language other than like
it's in general. Like if I can speak any language, like, there's not
what money is there to be made for you? You're not becoming a translator.
Well, I could do other things on the side. I could absolutely make more money.
You think there's side gigs for translators?
Yes, actually, I 100% know there are.
Yeah. So do you want to get a second job?
No.
What?
You asked me the right.
I don't think there's any financial benefit.
I think there is. I would disagree. So I think that's the smart answer, speak any language. Plus, it would be good for – you asked what's the job benefit.
Job benefit is being able to speak
to
anybody.
I would love to be able to walk in the Royals clubhouse and understand everything they're saying. Absolutely would. And vice versa. That would be good for the job.
Yes.
And relationships. But I'm totally taking to communicate with animals, 100%. I've got a dog. You know how much easier things would be if I could actually have a conversation, figure out what the hell she's barking about, other than figuring she has to go to the bathroom? Life would be so much easier.
I just feel like...
Give me the communicate with the animals. Absolutely.
Every language, man. I want every language. I want to be able to travel wherever, not have to worry about speaking the language. I want to be able to communicate people in their native language if that's easier for them. Hmm. Like, the animals, how good is the conversation going
to
be?
It doesn't have to be a good conversation. It's about understanding. As a texter points out, speak to animals is the answer. You can learn any language. You can't learn to communicate with
the animals. I can't learn any language. You are completely overestimating my ability.
Theoretically, you can. You have the physical ability to learn a language. You don't have the physical ability to ever understand your dog.
I mean, I guess.
And someone says translators make hella money. Thank you.
I didn't say they didn't make good money. I just don't think you want to become a translator all of a sudden.
Are
you thinking about a career shift?
You asked me if I want to learn every language. I'm thinking there could actually be a financial benefit with that decision.
Yeah, I just don't think you're getting – I don't think you personally are going to seek out side gigs in
translating. If I knew every language in the world, you don't think
it'd be a good backup career for if radio didn't work out, if I could speak any language. But I imagine if I could Dr. Doolittle my life, there might be some pretty good money in that too.
I'd start doing some live reads in all different languages. Oh, yeah.
Find out why Muffy doesn't feel great. I mean, you can – whatever, man. You can – like, if you can talk to animals, the same thing. I would choose every language.
People would pay for you to translate for their dog.
Oh, totally. Same gig. I would take any language. Sir, you're being quiet.
Oh, it's the language, easy. I mean – communicating with animals might be cool, but I think we would find that they aren't that smart.
Yeah, there'd only be so many animals.
There's a lot of people that aren't very smart, too, that you're going to find in these other...
Agreed.
Communicating with these other languages.
But how stimulating can a conversation with an animal honestly be?
See, it's not about a full on. I just went. It's more for me knowing when they need something. Honestly, it makes things a lot easier. Like, are they really? Are they barking because they're just trying to be a pain in the ass, or do they actually have to go take a crap? That you know, that would simplify things for me at times.
I think the better time would be like when they're sick,
or when something's when something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
That's fair.
Anything. Like all my paw hurts. You'd be like, oh.
I stepped in that. You idiot! You had me walk through this pile of glass in the middle of the road the other day.
No, dude, it's language. It's so easy.
Someone says dogs are instinctual. Pretty sure you would just hear one word repeated over and over again. Serta's dog would just Serta's dog would just. I don't know what that text means. Yeah.
Just ignore it then.
Yeah.
Look, I'm telling you, I think it's language, and I don't think it's particularly close. But you take the animals, huh? I mean, you could make good money talking to people's animals. You become an animal psychic, and if you were any good at it.
Now, someone just went the depressing route with the animals. They said on the Smitty's Garage Burger of your text line, 69306, imagine being able to talk with your dog, then having to put them down. Couldn't handle that. Well, that's terrible.
I did just have to put a dog down,
that
would have been awful.
You did.
That would have been
enough
awful.
Already.
But that's the same as, like, knowing people and having to. Because at least the dog could tell me it's time. Like, you know, like maybe I would save them some suffering. I don't know.
That's bad though. That conversation would be terrible.
This got dark in a hurry.
Yeah, why do we have to go that route? Anyway.
Look, maybe that's another downside. I'm telling you. Either way, I'm speaking the languages.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to our Chiefs Red half hour. All right. This could have been a random question as well, Cody. The New Orleans Saints have been seeking out a new sponsor. So we know things have been weird down in New Orleans recently. You got all this Taysom Hill love. He's their guy, Sean Payton telling Jay Glazer and all this. Well, the Saints, it's been the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, but now I don't know if Mercedes must be backing out or the deal's up, but apparently New Orleans Saints are out there welcoming bids for naming rights on the Superdome. So any company, they want to pay. Price tag is anywhere, some people think between $10 to $20 million is what it would take to get it done. Well, we've got the solution. Some companies already stepped forward. The Strip Chat Superdome. So for those that don't know, some of you may be familiar. Some of you may not. I don't know if Cody did any research before this segment or not.
No,
but
I did
not. Strip Chat, Cody, is an adult website company. Mm-hmm. And they've put in a $15 million bid for naming rights to what is now the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, home of the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints said they're not going to renew with Mercedes-Benz, or I'm assuming Mercedes-Benz said they're not with New Orleans. The company wants to name the place Strip Chat Superdome, make it the home of the future Super Bowl champion Saints. The company wrote in an offer sheet, "In our opinion, New Orleans is the party capital of the U.S. It's always been synonymous with nightlife and entertainment. It comes alive at night with people wandering the promenade of one of the most famous nightlife strips in the world, Bourbon Street." And they said, "I'd like to think that we here at Strip Chat embody some of the New Orleans character and flair, averaging over 60 million visitors per month."
Okay. I mean,
these companies
take the money. If they offered you twice as much as the normal naming rights deal, and you're talking about revenue loss, take the money. Doesn't this feel like a fairly simple choice? Take the dough.
Head down to the Strip Chat. Big game tonight, the Strip Chat.
I can't imagine professional broadcasts saying it every day. Of course they would. That's the whole point of having naming rights deals. You don't think ABC is going
to
be like,
they may refuse to. They don't
taking
have to.
The Saints at the Strip Chat Stadium. No, you're right. Boy, talk about what
the NFL may not allow it. Honestly.
Are they just going to cut out the upper shots where they show like that big Mercedes-Benz logo?
Giant.
What
strip
is the
chat.
Logo? Is it like the shadowy trucker flap?
I mean, I'm on your Wi-Fi. I'm not on the work Wi-Fi. So that's the one benefit. We are remote. So
I'm not on the work Wi-Fi.
We're not on the work Wi-Fi. So let me go ahead.
Dear FBI, whatever gold searches for Strip Chat.
Let's see. Strip
this
Chat.
Is not mine.
The logo is like a little, it's got like a chat bubble and a wine glass.
Oh, see, look. That's a perfectly fine logo. They can still do the vertical shots. Someone would be like, what's the stadium logo for that? Okay. If they're offering you more money, this is capitalism. Take the money.
There you go. Now we know the logo to Strip Chat. Thank you.
Like you didn't already. Just a chatty bubble and a wine glass, huh?
It's actually a classy logo, considering what it is.
Look,
very classy.
They're trying to just help out the Saints with their naming rights deal and still keep things very classy. I got no problem with it.
Do you actually think they're good for it?
The $15 million?
Yeah.
I got to imagine there's some pretty good money in the porn industry. So, Yeah, I think they're probably good for the $15
million. But it's not. It's like the cam. It's like the camming industry. It's. I guess. It's,
so you don't think that they have that kind of money?
I don't think they have any intention of actually paying the $15 million. I think this. They know that you and I and other radio hosts and other
Google talk, Strip Chat Company Net Worth.
I'm getting nervous. How many times I'm searching? Strip Chat Net Worth.
Yeah, let's company see. Net Worth.
I'm not really finding anything here.
Well,
it's telling me to buy tokens. That's a different option. It's a whole different. That's a whole different.
Get in a chat and find out how much they're worth. look, what I'm telling you is,
you guys do the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I'll do some more show research.
there's plenty of money to be made in that industry. I have to think that they're going to be doing just fine.
Yeah, I just don't think they know the Saints aren't going to ever accept it, and so it was a way for them just to get their name out there. We will have the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in 10 minutes. So Cam Newton's out there. In free agency, Jameis Winston is in New Orleans as a backup, along with Taysom Hill, to Drew Brees with the Saints. There's a report that Josh Rosen, who for about a half a second, I forgot he was the third-string quarterback in Miami. What a weird start to your career and a terrible start to your career. Not all his own doing by any means for Josh Rosen, but a report that teams have been calling the Dolphins about Rosen, therefore trying to maybe see what it would take to trade for Rosen. I don't know if it's going to take all that much at this point in time, knowing what it took
anything.
At the time. Fitzpatrick's their guy. Tua's the future there. There's no future for Josh Rosen in Miami. If you're the Dolphins, if someone would even offer you a fifth-round pick, don't you just take it?
They would offer me anything of value at all, I would take it.
He's
also,
your
third
stringer.
Here's the thing. I'm officially off Rosen. I thought for a while he was just kind of getting a bad deal.
Okay.
Because obviously he got kind of screwed in Arizona, and then now they've taken Tua. But what this tells me is now two organizations have had a chance to look at Josh Rosen, and multiple people have had a chance to take the tape and practice. I just think he can't play. So, like, I don't think you should give up things for Josh Rosen because I don't think he can play. And also, why are you giving up assets for Josh Rosen if you could just sign Cam Newton instead?
I don't think it's going to be a real asset. Like, I think they're just ready to get rid of him at this point. And I don't think that Josh Rosen might not be an NFL starter, but he has not gotten a fair shot whatsoever.
I mean, he was drafted immediately as soon as Cliff got hired. The rumors started about Cliff wanting to bring in Kyler Murray. It happened on draft night. He gets traded to the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the job over him. And then the next year they draft Tua. Not that, by the way, that's still the correct decision, of course, for the Dolphins, but just Josh Rosen hasn't, I still believe, been able to show what he has. I don't think he's going to be a really good quarterback or anything like that, but I also don't think we can flat out say he sucks either. That's where I'm kind of at on Josh Rosen. I do think if you're another team, if you're going to give up either, you know, a late draft pick, or certainly if he ever becomes a free agent, it's totally worth bringing him in and figuring it out. But it does concern me a little bit that they decided to go with Fitzpatrick over Josh Rosen last year. Like, if there was a clear sign that he was a guy,
they brought
league,
him in to hope that he was a guy, and he could never beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick on a 5-6 win team. Goal. I just don't think he can play anymore. And again, if you're thinking I'm going to get Josh Rosen, why wouldn't you just sign Cam Newton instead?
I mean, he's going to be fine.
I know Cam Newton's going to cost more than Josh Rosen, but still.
4 year, $17.5 million contract.
Rosen to me is the perfect, like, let's just see if we can develop him to be our backup quarterback, maybe. Like, if the Chiefs want to take a shot on him versus, you know, some of the 1 year deals they've been doing for veteran quarterbacks next year, fine. But there's no reason to give up even, like sort of said, like, it's not going to be much of an asset. But there's no reason to give up even a small asset, in my opinion.
The one team, of course, that comes to mind is the Patriots, because that was that draft night a year ago when it was rumored the Cardinals were going to end up selecting Kyler and trades, and everybody was wondering if Bill Belichick would be willing to trade for Rosen. There was rumblings that the Patriots really liked Josh Rosen, and this was, of course, still when Brady was on the roster, but that they could trade for Rosen. He would sit a year behind Brady, and then that would work out. That would have been a better situation, clearly, for Rosen, because right now he'd be in position, potentially, to be a starting quarterback.
Because I don't think he can start. But yes, I agree with you, but it's just there's a reason why he keeps getting passed up on, and it's probably because he can't play.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, it's our Chiefs Red Half Hour, the onside kick proposal, the benefit for Kansas City, and some other rule changes that maybe would be better for KC than the rest of the NFL.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The Fix and Flip Guys at CaseyLend.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Let's get right into it for our Chiefs Red Half Hour. Been expecting to hear from Andy Reid coming up here on Cody and Gold. So the onside kick alternative proposal continuing to advance next Thursday. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network saying will be the day owners vote on a couple of the proposals, but there's not any one more than this one that's had people talking. The 4th and 15 alternative to an onside kick you could choose if your team has not already done it twice. Initially, there was reports that you had to be trailing, and that's been corrected by Tom Pelissero. We had a few people earlier, even when we were talking about it, saying, no, you guys, the scenarios of them trailing, it has to be the only way it works. That's not true, apparently, under the current proposal. So any point in the game, as long as you haven't done it twice, if you want to avoid kicking the ball off and not doing an onside kick, you can choose 4th and 15, your own 25, and you can give it a go and retain the ball and play keep away a little bit early on. Now, you can only limit it twice, and that stipulation right there, to me, is just a Mahomes stipulation, frankly. Now, I don't think Andy Reid truly would go and do it even twice in a game if they were never trailing. I really don't. But that, even the fact
it's going to be a long time before we see a team do it twice.
That's, yeah, unless they're down a ton.
Yeah.
Right?
Down but, three scores, score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Complete it, score a touchdown, then go again. Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to come be a wild comeback.
But I do think that stipulation is to prevent, like the fact that you're limiting it two times, to prevent a team from really playing keep away for an entire half.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those rules we probably spend a little too much time talking on, considering how often we'll actually see an employee, because like how often in a season do you see onside kicks occur, right? Is it once a week?
Yeah, but we guess because they're not likely. This is way. This seems to be a
no,
little
I,
more
well,
likely.
Look, people still have to do the onside kick, though, sometimes, because they're down. And it's their only choice. Now, sometimes teams will choose to kick off and think they can get a three and out and then hold that, you know, like, get a three and out and still retain 55 seconds. In that scenario, would a team, knowing what a low percentage chance an onside kick is, but what a better percentage chance they have at a 4th and 15, go for it? Maybe. You know, the team that is pitching this, the Philadelphia Eagles, because that's the way these rule changes work. They're pitched out by teams.
Remember, the Chiefs pitched that overtime change a year ago. Did not pass.
They did. No, it did not. And probably the reason why they pitched it is because they just lost to the Patriots in overtime in, you know, the AFC Championship game, which might have stopped them from winning back-to-back Super Bowls. So the team that pitched this is the team you have to assume is willing to do this a little more often. He has been pretty brazen with his fourth down attempts, as have a few other teams. You know, we talk about like Riverboat Ron and all the guys that come with it. I assume some teams will try to take advantage of that, but I still think it's for the team. I still think it's going to be utilized by the teams who are down. Do you really see a team up 14-0 in the second quarter just deciding to go for a 4th and 15 to try to bury a team? Because I don't.
Probably not, because if you don't get it, my understanding from the rule is that that team would get the ball at your 25, correct? Because the ball will be spotted on the kicking team's 25-yard line, and that happens, you are guaranteeing essentially a field goal at minimum. You're guaranteeing the other team 3 points, and without getting specifics how accurate kickers are and all that. But like really, you're giving up 3 points right off the bat at minimum by doing that. And that's why if you are Andy Reid under this scenario, if you're up, why are you doing it? You can say, well, you got Patrick Mahomes for sure. But if you have Patrick Mahomes, you're saying, well, if that one, you trust your defense, you're putting trust in your defense. I can see them doing that.
Sure.
But also, even if you're down, I don't know how often they're going to do it, Cody, unless it's late in the game, because they may say, we trust our defense, and Mahomes, he's going to go down 80 yards down the field. He can have multiple downs to work down the field versus one. Like, you may still think it's more likely that you get that three and out or that stop and Mahomes has a full field to work than it is that risking it all on one play where you're let's say you're down seven, and there's 2 minutes left. Are you really going to do that? No, you're probably going to kick the ball if you have a timeout or two left. Hope you get a stop, and who cares if Mahomes has to go 80 yards? It's still one possession game versus you do that 4th and 15, you feel good about him converting the 15, no doubt, but you don't get it. The team's up seven already, and they're already in field goal range with 2 minutes to go. Yeah, you might get them to go three and out, but they're going to kick a chip shot field goal, and you're down 10-0 with a minute to go.
Yeah, but if you're going to get 50 seconds left and all you need is a field goal, based on the math. Do you try for the three and out and think for the 50 seconds
left?
If you're down three.
Yeah, if you're down three, in the scenario, though, you're down seven, you don't do that. If you're down three, you do. If you're down seven, you don't, because you risk it automatically becoming a two-possession game.
Yeah, probably true. And a lot of it, again, depends on the comfort you have in the quarterback and just how much time. These are all – they're going to have to very carefully determine – and they've got spreadsheets for all that stuff when they go for it on fourth. Remember, Andy talked about that. Every team has a probability spreadsheet that gives them the yes or no on whether or not they should go for it there. And Doug Peterson, Andy Reid, everybody who does this are going to have the same option or availability to go with it. So – I just feel like sometimes we might overplay it just based on where it's going to be. Now, here's the best possible news. There's no team better equipped to do it than the Chiefs. There's just no team better to do it than the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes was practically, you know, slow clapping for it on Twitter last night, and you can't blame him. Think about how many times the Chiefs were good on 3rd and 4th and 15 last year.
Yeah, they didn't have that many fourth downs, but.
And there were stats as compared, because, like, normal quarterback success rate on 3rd and 15, 4th and 15, 15 or more to go, it's like 5%, which, by the way, is a whole hell of a lot better than your chance of getting an onside kick right now. And at least now your playbook will have, you know, you have those like 4th and 1 plays, you have those. Now everyone's going to have the 15-yard play they like the best. That maybe was WASP for the Chiefs, but everyone's going to have their 15-plus-yard play that they like the best. Every route goes that far, and these are the ones we've practiced, and they work. It becomes just like red zone plays, essentially, because you have to assume that at some point this is something you're going to execute, because you're always going to choose 4th and 15 over the onside kick. No one's ever going to choose the onside kick ever again.
And that's
maybe surprise onside kick, but not in that scenario.
Now, this is more exciting. This is more exciting with all the safety changes for the onside kick. It's become virtually impossible, and I think it was Albert Breer that put this stat out. And under Mahomes, 3rd and 15 and 4th and 15 or longer, 12 of 16, 3 touchdowns, and a 156.3 passer rating. Now, most of those were 3rd downs more than 4th downs. But still, 3rd and 15s, 4th and 15s, Mahomes was 12 of 16, 3 touchdowns, and a 156 passer rating. Nuts. That's why you're excited. That's why you put a smile on your face when you see that proposal exists. Do you think it passes? I think it does.
I mean, they said there's growing support for it. I think the reason why it does is because they've essentially eliminated the onside kick. And look, for good reason, for safety reasons. And if eventually the kick return, right, goes away, because essentially they've eliminated that possibility at the end of the game too, right? Oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to return this kick for a touchdown. Nah, man, everyone can just blast it out of the back of the end zone. Right? I mean, that's it. Yeah. They can just blast it out of the back of the end zone. So, all right, we'll go for the onside kick. Not possible. Because it can't be done, essentially, based on just the numbers. Teams are looking for, and leagues should be. There should be a way to come back. In baseball, the simple answer is just put enough guys to go around the bases, right? Like, every other sport, essentially, has the ability to come back because they are untimed. In tennis, if you're down 2-0 and down love 40 in the final one, you can just keep scoring points. The time limit doesn't run out on you to make a comeback. In baseball, the time limit doesn't come back on you to make a comeback. In basketball, it does. There is a point in which it's going to be physically impossible. So maybe one day they'll add a 10-point spot that comes up in the under 2-minute category that can only be employed if you're down more than 20. You know, like, who knows how they're going to structure these things? But, you know, for football, this is one way that you can still allow a team a last gasp of breath.
Makes them more excited.
This is your chance. Yes, because you want everybody to always feel like they have a chance to the bitter damn end.
And it certainly helps if you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. And what about a long-term deal to keep him in Kansas City? Nobody's worried about that getting done. But when could it get done? Chiefs owner and CEO Clark Hunt was down in Dallas and had a Facebook Live at an event there with 105.3 The Fan, and this was his response to a potential Mahomes contract.
The negotiations are something we'll be getting into this summer. But what he has said and what we've said, both sides, is he wants to be a Kansas City Chief for life. And that's our mentality as well. We wanted to play his entire career in Kansas City, and that's what we're going to be shooting for.
This summer is when negotiations and those talks are going to start between the two sides. And we also know there's Chris Jones out there that, in his view, right, needs a long-term deal, and they have till July 15th to potentially get him taken care of as well, although that's a little more potentially simplified now that, you know, you're past the draft and he's on a franchise tag and he can play this year at $16.2 million or so, and that's going to be his cap hit. For Mahomes, yeah, they picked up the fifth-year option. That was just kind of something that you kind of have to do just in case. Just in case, but nobody's worried about a deal getting done, but everybody is wondering, does it get done before the season? Is it important that it gets done before the season? And just how much does the current climate in the National Football League with the economics and revenues and potentially for the first time in, what, 10, 12 years, not seeing the cap maybe go up in 2021?
Yeah.
And how do you then view a Mahomes deal? These are things that weren't an issue 6 months ago, 3 months ago.
Here's the thing, though. If the exactly the same next year, which would be a big problem for a lot of teams, including the Chiefs, or went down, God forbid. If that were to occur in the sports landscape, the guy who's taking the pay cut isn't the quarterback. So it doesn't affect Mahomes' deal at all. He's not taking less just in the off chance. You know what it'll mean? It'll just mean quarterbacks take up a larger percentage of the salary cap for everybody. Because that's not where people are going to try to cut, like,
he may not be taking less, but it changes how you structure it potentially. If you know what, let's say the numbers from Adam Schefter are accurate, and it happens. He's saying around $100 million.
I think you backload it a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. Because if his number's right and it's $100 million in lost revenue, and therefore the cap's not going to go up, and let's say it does go down, I don't think it in 1 year is going to go down that $40 to $80 million range that he's mentioned. I think they stagger it. That seems the smarter way.
Yeah, instead
way
of
to
taking
it.
A $20 million, maybe they just keep it the same. You know, you could stagger your losses, just never lowering the never raising the salary cap.
That's one way. There's a
bunch
of different
ways for the next 4 years.
There's a bunch of different ways to do it. But it does hurt. You said every team has to deal with the cap. You're correct. But also, not every team is going to have to make sure their quarterback's the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. So I do think it's a little bit more challenging. Yeah, the deal's going to get done. Mahomes is going to get taken care of. The structure will be the question. And is it front loaded? Is it back loaded? What other creative ways does Brett Veach and his team work to get it done and to appease both sides? But this summer, I take that as past July 15th, by the way.
Okay.
For that to occur. Like, I always viewed, like, 4th of July. To me, once Fourth of July, to me, is when you hit the summer.
You got to get through the Chris Jones timeline before I think that deal's ever getting done.
Yeah.
For very obvious reasons. Because if there's any chance you're considering signing Chris Jones at all, you got to find out what the cost and structure of that's going to look like before you can do anything with it. Which is fine. I still think he's just going to play under the franchise tag this year.
Chris Jones, yeah. I think.
I mean, aren't you leaning that way now?
And if anything, if you're saying, am I wondering if today's going to be the day? Even if you're someone that believes Chris Jones is getting a new long-term deal, I just don't think it's worth even checking until July. Like, check back in July. I mean, I really believe. Like, I don't think anything's getting done in May or June. If something,
man, I gotta wait for July for sports to come back.
You gotta
this
wait
till
the month of July in that 2 week window, July 1st through the 15th. If you think there's a decent chance it gets done, that's when it gets done. I would be a little surprised, period, if it gets done, but very, very surprised if it's like June 10th and we're like, oh yeah, they got something worked out with Chris Jones. I think it's a July thing. We know deadlines for action, and that's when maybe you start to hear some more noise because it's been a very quiet, which isn't a bad thing, negotiations between Jones and the Chiefs, whatever those negotiations consist of, however much dialogue there really has been. We don't know the full answer to that. That's something that maybe would heat up in July a little more if truly they believe that they can get something done. We were talking about the rule change there with the NFL that's been proposed. Next Thursday going to be the vote on the onside kick alternative, and Mahomes seemed excited about it. You got to imagine Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are excited about it. Andy Reid, just a minute ago, in fact, was asked about the onside kick alternative. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know if it's going to pass or not. I know the special teams coaches aren't real big on that. You know, it takes away, obviously, one of the elements of theirs. And then it's also the kickoff, which has been under scrutiny here, and kickoff returns. So, you know, to keep the integrity of the game, you like that part of it. On the other hand, if it does pass and we've got a guy that can – do 4th and 15s. I mean, he would give us an opportunity to be able to do that. So I've got kind of mixed thoughts on it. I would probably stick, being an old guy, I'd probably stick with the integrity of the game as it sits right now. But I can also see where the other part could be exciting.
There could be plenty of people that view it the way he does that are just like, hey, you know what, we need to maintain and make sure that we're keeping, as he said, the integrity of the game. The one thing is that he brought up
special teams. I hate that in all sports.
He brought
sports
up
change.
He brought up special teams coach. And you think about jobs, and if you're already – we know onside kicks are nearly impossible now. This is an alternative that would maybe twice a game – I guess theoretically the most it could be is four times a game there's no kickoffs if both teams used it twice. You get rid of that, it's four less kickoffs. You're already having some people that believe kickoffs should just be taken away altogether. And so,
I mean, it does devalue the special teams
coach.
So I
can see
if
you're a special teams coach, or guys have made a career. Guys make the roster because they're good on special teams. So I understand, like, from a job perspective, your concern maybe if you're a special teams coach. And, you know, the Slater over in New England has made his career off of being the best special teams player in football. Guys will make the Chiefs roster on this year's team because they may not have a role on the field on defense, but they find a way to have an impact on special teams. So I get that part of it, but he also was very quick to point out, too, we've got a guy that can convert some of these 4th and 15s.
I mean, that's the best point he's making out of all of it, right? It's like, look, I don't like the rule. But the purity of the game or whatever people hide behind is these sports have to change, not just to, like, try to keep people interested or whatever. They have to change because physical gifts change or the state of where country, you know, like, that's where, like, baseball's kind of gotten stuck. Like, people give baseball such a hard time. Like, do something different. Like, just once adjust to, like, the modern sports landscape, even just from, a promotional level, right? Well, the football needs to understand that. Like, football is crazy dangerous. Like, why isn't boxing just switched to, like, have them have this safety mask on yet? Like, stop having people punch each other in the face with no protection. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that sport is, even though the NFL obviously is a very, very violent sport, boxing is literally built on punching the dude, so that's why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at the NFL, if they've decided kick returns are too dangerous, onside kicks are too dangerous, then the sanctity is already done. Remember, because the sanctity was, like, let's just beat the hell out of each other. That was the original sanctity of the NFL. Let me gouge you while we sit in the bottom of a pile. Let me run at you 400 miles an hour as I come down for a kickoff. We already got rid of some of that because we decided, yeah, maybe we shouldn't try to kill each other on the field.
I do agree with what one texter points out over on the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 69306. He says, because of the way the Chiefs are built, every game teams will be using it on us being the Chiefs, almost never us using it on other teams. I do believe.
Again, yeah, it's more likely to make it difficult to hold on to those, sure.
Yeah, I mean, so we're all excited. Oh, Mahomes, 4th and 15s, let's see a bunch of these. They can do it twice a game, and under the stipulations, by the way, you don't have to be trailing. It is more likely, for a couple different reasons, you it could actually hurt you.
Yes, but teams are never going to use this in the middle of the game because they're risking putting their opponent at the 25-yard line. For the people who think teams are going to use this while ahead, it ain't happening. And teams are going to use this.
Well, that's exactly right. You say other teams are going to use it on the Chiefs.
And for the teams who think they're going to use it while behind, like if they're down 14 in the second quarter,
not
and
use it.
Hell no.
You have Mahomes.
No,
the same reason why you want them to use it is the reason why you don't.
A lot. Or down late. The time when this is going to be used, the same time it's going to be used for the onside kick. Late. That's it. Yeah. So maybe ice a half or whatever, but late.
You know, I just, you know, then someone else says unintended consequences to the onside kick replacement. Teams are going to try to blow other teams out of the water earlier. See, so they cannot come back. I don't think that's going to happen. You're right. That would be a potentially advantageous way to do it. He says the games will be less watchable, which is the whole point of the rule. I don't think you're going to have someone where the Chiefs are up 21-0 in the first quarter because Mahomes just went off. That means your defense is also playing pretty well, potentially as well. And then all of a sudden you're going to decide to use the rule once you're there. Or if the Chiefs have an opening 8-play, 75-yard drive that takes up 8 minutes, and then you're going to tell me they're just going to go for 4th and 15 right then off the bat. No, they're going to kick the ball off and have their defense on the field. I don't think they're going to do it that early in games, unless there's like a major injury or something where all of a sudden the Chiefs are really, they can't stop this, you know, there's a scenario where like they can't get any pressure on the, they're just getting lit up by that opposing team quarterback, and they're seeing already that this is going to be a shootout, and they're like, screw it, our defense can't stop you, unless you get at a point late in the game where you start to see that you literally can't stop that guy.
Yeah.
And which is why teams are – that's why the opponents are going to do that potentially against Kansas City, though.
I still think it's such a small window. It's such a small – and they blow it once – they have just dug an even deeper hole.
Yeah.
And then they,
what?
Okay, so maybe they do it twice, but now they're already down even more, so it doesn't matter. It's an equal benefit to the Chiefs as it is the other teams. It's late game situations replace the onside kick. I like it.
Definitely going to change fantasy football and gambling forever.
That for sure.
If it does, in fact, pass. Well, no, next Thursday, that's when the owners are supposed to vote. I would imagine during the show at some point. We may even know a little less than a week from now. Let's get to last minute.
Last minute.
The bidding on Patriots owner Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 51 ring peaked more than a week ago at $1.025 million, and that's where it remained until bidding closed. No new bids were entered, so the 35th bidder gets a Super Bowl ring from the Patriots' 28-3 comeback over the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow! Just to drop a mil, huh?
So that guy or gal found that number. Like nobody, they set it so high. Nobody else found it worthy to go above that dollar amount. I figured it was that quickly above that somebody else would at least try to outbid. But somebody wanted it and they set that price. They felt it was good. It's anonymous, I assume, because we were saying potentially could you have Robert Kraft buy it back essentially and say, you know, I'm just going to donate this money to charity. I doubt that happened. I guess we wouldn't know the answer to that yet, but I thought it would have gone for a little bit more. What did the Mahomes all-in experience?
It went for $1 million. I mean, that's probably more than it's worth on the open market. Like, this is the open market, but, like, I mean, it's going to take a little while for it to be worth that amount of dough.
What was your guess on the Mahomes?
Mitchell Schwartz's was in the $30,000. I don't know, $100,000 from Mahomes?
I don't think it ended up getting that high. It was in, $60,000 for Mahomes? I think the Mitchell Schwartz one
ended in the 30s.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know if they put the ones that have ended already up there. It ended up. Wow. Okay. Someone won at Mahomes. Lead the chop at Arrowhead. Mahomes autographed jersey and cleats. $140,000. $140,000 for the Mahomes experience. 40 bids. Good for them on that one. All for providing food to those in need. Fantastic. $140,000. Different life. Different world.
Well, you have that kind of money, just
the,
take it
the Mitchell
with Patrick
Schwartz one ends today at 8 o'clock. It's up to $34,000 to have him cook you dinner and go down on the field, and you also get a Rolex.
That all sounds pretty dope. I'm going to wear that Rolex while he cooks me dinner.
Some of the
I want to feel by the way, I couldn't wear a Rolex. I don't own any clothes nice enough to wear a Rolex.
You mean you can't wear this crab shirt or lobster shirt
crab.
You're wearing?
Why did you? It's clearly a lobster.
I corrected myself. It's a lobster. I had to think. Yeah,
I cannot wear my lobster T-shirt with a Rolex. No. I mean, I don't think so. Maybe not. I do own one nice sports coat.
Just one?
Well, the rest are fine.
Oh, okay.
Like, I own some other suit jackets. I own one really nice sports coat. Let me rephrase.
There you go. All those TV appearances with our friend Danny Welniak. Do you wear the nice one on Channel 5?
Sometimes. I got to mix it up, but sometimes.
Okay. Coming up next, we'll get to the noon hour. You'll hear more from Andy Reid. He talked about the leak precautions for games and also Eric Bieniemy and the changes for the Rooney Rule. We'll also have a little what's trending next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.